Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear again these closing verses from our gospel reading. And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." This is our text. There was an angel in Mary's living room. A great heavenly angel, Gabriel, sent from the Most High God. There was a heavenly angel in Nazareth speaking to a lowly maiden. For the time of fulfillment had come. The time of God's favor had come. God was remembering his promises. 1,000 years before this, God had promised King David, "When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Now, 1,000 years later, Gabriel stands before Mary, declaring that she will bear this son, and that the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. 700 years before this, God had promised deliverance to King Ahaz. He had told him to ask for a sign, any sign. Make it as high as the heavens above or as deep as Sheol. And when faithless Ahaz refused, God announced a sign nevertheless. A maiden would conceive, give birth to a son, and name him Emmanuel, God with us. And now 700 years later, God's angel hails a virgin named Mary. "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. You will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." 600 years before this, the same angel, Gabriel, had come to Daniel in exile in Babylon. Gabriel brought Daniel a hopeful promise from God. Much time would yet pass, many weeks of years, but God would bring about the coming of an anointed one, the Messiah, the Prince, who would finally put an end to sin, atone for iniquity, and usher in everlasting righteousness. And now, 600 years later, Gabriel is sent by God again to Mary to announce the coming birth of a son who will be called Holy, the Son of God. He is to be named Jesus, which means he saves. "Greetings, O favored one. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Favor indeed. Heaven came to earth that day. Highest heaven came to lowly Nazareth. The Most High God sent his noble angel Gabriel to a lowly maiden. Here now was the sign, as high as the heavens above and as deep as Sheol. The Virgin Mary will bear a son. Aged barren Elizabeth will bear a son. Neither woman and neither womb should have had such joy. Neither woman, neither womb could have had such joy, but with God all things are possible. Luke began his gospel by setting before us Zacharias and Elizabeth. They had no child, Luke tells us, because Elizabeth was barren and both of them advanced in years. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias in the temple and announced that Elizabeth would bear a son, Zacharias objected, "I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And when Gabriel visits Mary, the angel himself remarks, "Behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." It couldn't be more clear, more emphasized in the text that Elizabeth had a barren womb. The Greek word is styra, as in sterile, barren. Elizabeth's womb, Elizabeth shouldn't have had such joy, couldn't have had such joy. Nor Mary, of course. When Mary comes into the gospel, Luke introduces her as a parthenos, a virgin, twice in one verse. God sent Gabriel to a virgin, betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. When Gabriel announces that she will have a child, Mary asks, "How will this be? I've never known a man." Mary's womb shouldn't have had a child, couldn't have. Neither woman and neither womb should have had such joy. But here stands the angel Gabriel in Mary's living room. Here stands a heavenly angel declaring it to the mother of our Lord. A Savior, born from Virgin Mary's womb. His herald and forerunner, born of the barren womb of Elizabeth. And both of these women themselves were the miraculous offspring of Mother Eve. Eve was as good as dead because of her sin in the garden, but by the miracle of God's mercy, she has become the mother of all the living. And both Mary and Elizabeth are themselves the miraculous offspring of Mother Sarah, their barren ancestor, who in her old age gave birth to Isaac. Here in Mary and Elizabeth, the ringing laughter of Sarah, transformed from bitter doubt to utter joy, will echo forth again in Israel. There will be a fulfillment of what is spoken by the Lord. It will be for them and for us, according to his word. From a virgin womb comes the Christ. From a barren womb comes his greatest prophet. Out of nothing, ex nihilo, God creates everything in heaven and on earth. He speaks into darkness, and light springs forth. God takes a nation of slaves and makes them into a kingdom of priests. He takes a stiff-necked and idolatrous people, and he declares them to be a holy nation. So yes, from virgin and barren wombs, God brings living, leaping children. Where there is nothing, our God works his everything. Where there is nothing, our God works his everything. And they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of the pieces that were left over. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Son, your sins are forgiven you. To Peter and the disciples who were about to abandon him, Jesus says, I call you my friends. And to Paul, he assures, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. This God, this Lord in Mary's womb, he does this. He does these things out of nothing. And that is such good news, because our world is so barren. God preserves so much goodness around us, but we have worked such devastation. The barrenness of our world and of our lives is not hard to see. We see love grown cold, violence, selfish ambition and jealousy, unbelief, arrogance, sinful perversion and depravity, conflict and disputing, impatience with others, neglect of others, greed, ignorance, ugliness, aimlessness, death, such barrenness. And we see all of it every day by the time we finish brushing our teeth in the morning, looking right at us from the bathroom mirror. But take heart, dear children of God, for Mary's Son has come. The Son of the Most High has come, finally, to save us. From a virgin womb, by the power of God's Spirit and Word, He comes to save, to put an end to sin, to atone for iniquity, to usher in everlasting righteousness. This morning, in the midst of Lent, in the midst of this season of repentance, in the midst of this season of meditation upon the suffering and death of Christ, we pause to celebrate with utter joy and wonder this sweetest of all conversations, the announcement from God's angel sent from highest heaven to Nazareth that the time of the coming of Jesus Christ is at hand. Come then to this feast where angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, where Gabriel and the Blessed Virgin gather with us, and together with them we praise the love of God in the body and blood of His incarnate Son. Hail, you favored ones. The Lord is with you. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Amen.